Thank you for tuning in this morning to hear Brother Tommy Ledford with The Truth Ministries. Listen every Sunday morning for his weekly message and follow him on the web at www.thetruthministries.us.
Good morning, everybody. This is David Clark. Welcome you again to the radio broadcast today. It's a wonderful, wonderful day to be alive, to serve the Lord. I'm so excited about this morning. So let's get into the Word of God. I want to welcome everyone that's listening from everywhere that you're listening from. I keep getting reports that more and more folks are hearing us. And so we sure appreciate you for listening. All the folks at Union Correctional, Baker County Correctional, all the folks from church, family, friends, people from work, everywhere, just thank you so much for tuning in. So we want to get into the Word of God today. I'm going to be reading out of the book of Isaiah and several other places if you want to follow along, but we're going to start in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. I've got something to share with you today that I told my wife last night as I was reading a little more, studying a little more, and I said, I don't know if folks are going to like me after this is over with, but that's not my intention. But I do have something to share with you from the Word of God this morning that I feel God's given me to share with everyone who will hear. Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 1. I'm going to read quite a bit, so just bear with me, all right? Isaiah 1 and 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw coming concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burnt with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom and Gomorrah, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom, and give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. Listen to verse number 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and of the fat of the fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity. Even the solemn meeting, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble to me, unto me. I am weary to bear them. Verse number 15. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash ye, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. How is the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Thy silver is become dross, thy wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies. And I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin. And I will restore the judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterwards thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together. And they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. For they shall be ashamed of the oaks which ye have desired, and ye shall be confounded for the gardens that ye have chosen. For ye shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, as a garden that hath no water. And the strong shall be as tow, and the maker of it as a spark. And they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them. That's a lot of reading, I understand, and I apologize for reading so many verses, but I had to get all that in there together. This vision coming to Isaiah is dealing with Judah and Jerusalem, Judah and Israel, and it's God revealing their current condition. Isaiah is prophesying. He's telling of this vision that he's seen. He's revealing the voice of God to these people who have turned away from God. But there's something particular about this chapter that it's pulling at my heart this morning, and I want to relate this to us because, you know, this pertains to where the church is today in 2019. Isaiah is giving an example of how that the church still in form are serving God. They're still offering up sacrifices. They're still worshiping God. They're still coming before God with sacrifices of rams and ointments and different things. But God wants to know why, in your backslidden state, turning away from what I have called you to and worshiping of idols, and your cities are desolate and there's all kinds of sin abounding, why are you worshiping me and coming before me to give thanks in your backslidden condition? Now, there's a couple of verses in here that are very hard to hear. There's a couple of things that God says in his word here that are a little concerning to me. And listen, verse number 2, the last part that says, and they have rebelled against me. The last part of verse number 3 says, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Now go to verse number 11. This is what I want to talk about here today. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? Listen, I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or lambs or of the goats. Now listen, folks, we're doing what the Old Testament law required of them as far as giving the offerings to God and bringing before him sacrifices. It was not in their intentions where they fell away. It was not in their sacrifices per se. They were following the form and they were doing what God commanded them to do as far as bringing him offerings. But what God wants to know is, why do you think it matters to me that you bring me an offering and bring me worship in your backslidden condition? We've got to deal with the root of the problem today with the church, because there's all kinds of problems. There's, you know, worldliness abounding and liberalism and folks, churches that are passing all kinds of things that are contrary to God's word. They're ordaining ministers that live an alternative lifestyle. There's all kinds of problems happening in the leadership of the church. And there's cheating and lying and stealing and adultery, all kinds of things going on in the church houses today. But listen, friends, the problem is not that folks are showing up for church on Sunday morning to sing I'll Fly Away or Amazing Grace or Blessed Assurance, because folks are doing that. Folks are showing up, and they're turning to page 333 in the Redback Hymnal. Folks are showing up, and they're looking like they're ready for Sunday morning. They're dressed in their Sunday best. They're attending Sunday school. They're singing in the choir, which makes it even worse. Listen to me. But what I want to know this morning is your heart ready for worship? Are you prepared for worship? The title of this message that I want to bring to you today is Rejected Worship. Rejected Worship. When does God reject my worship? Now, God's talking to Israel and Judah here, and he's telling them of their condition, and God does not mince words. God's telling them that basically everything about them is desolate. Their cities have been laid waste to. And one part here, he called them a harlot. Listen, in verse 21, how is the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged into it, but now murderers, the place where God once was glorified, the place where folks were living for God, living holy. We call that in today's society, in the church, living right. Folks were just living right. Christians just living for God, just being holy. But how is it that the church has become a harlot? How is it that the church has become a backslidden, just a shade of what the church used to be? It's just a mere memory of its former glory. Why is that? I'm afraid today that sin has crept so into the church to where it has hindered our worship. It has not hindered our intentions to worship because folks are still showing up. But I fear today that the hands that are being raised in the sanctuary are not holy hands anymore. I fear today that the church that names the name of Christ is not the sanctified church that she once was. Because the problem that we have is we continue on doing the good things and we group the bad things that we take on along with that. But God is a jealous God and God is a holy God. And he will not accept worship from just any old dirty heart. God said in John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What is that truth? Listen to John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Listen, they must worship him in spirit and in truth. What is the truth that I must worship God in? It is the very person of Jesus Christ. I've got to be in Christ in order for God to receive my worship. What does it mean to be in Christ? If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Listen, this morning, it boils down to this simple truth that if you're going to worship God and God accept that sacrifice of praise from your life, you must be born again. And friend, you must be washed and holy and prepared for worship. God will not accept anything less. I know that that's going to come as a shock to some folks because they just live vicariously through the week and then show up for church on Sunday morning and they get up and they worship God in whatever form or fashion. Now we've got so many replacements for the anointing, we can't tell the difference. We've got laser shows and disco balls and canned music and live rock bands, and we've got people in skinny jeans looking like they just went yard selling or something coming in and then trying to lead us into the presence of God. But friends, listen to me this morning. Where is the heart of the church today? Where is the heart of the church today? Is it really in love with God the Father, or have we replaced the things of God, the things of true worship and praise, with things that ease our conscience, with things that are easy on the eyes, with things that are comfortable, with things that are so entwined with the world that they can't tell us apart anymore? We have got to be the church of Jesus Christ, and my friends, it all starts in the heart of a man. It all starts in the heart of a man. Listen, let me give you an example. Let me give you an example. I go to the prisons on Saturday nights and I preach. I got some volunteers that go with us from the church. And listen, we still believe in right living. We still believe in modesty. We still believe in sanctification. I believe that women, I'm going to get in trouble here, but I believe women ought to dress like women and men ought to dress like men. That's the Bible. That's not David Clark's stand on things. What the Word of God says. I think we ought to be able to tell the genders apart. I believe that's the way God made us to be. Can somebody just agree with that out there? I'll just pretend I can hear you saying amen, Brother David. Preach, you're preaching good. Now listen, we go in there, and sometimes the women have to go through a little bit more of a check to the security because they have to make sure they're not smuggling anything in and things like that. But you know, the chaplain told Brother Clyde Anderson some years ago, he said, "Brother, I never have to worry about the women from your church coming in here because they're always dressed modestly. They're never dressed scandally or anything like that to try to cause some type of lust or anything rising up in the inmates, because it's a very different environment in there. It's a very different place. You can't go in there and with anything that's going to entice men or whatever. And so you have to be very cautious of that." He said, "I never have to worry about that from your crowd because they're always dressed modestly and appropriately." And I thought to myself, my God, if we're going in to have church and to lift up the name of Christ, why in the world would anybody go in dressed any other kind of way but in a respectful manner in the house of God? And then I begin to think about that. Folks don't have the intentions of edifying Christ anymore. It's so much about self now. It's so much about making fashion statements. It's so much about fitting in with society that we have lost the heart of worship. We've lost it. It's so self-centered now. Worship is everything about what I can get. Listen to every contemporary and new age praise and worship song. It's about me. It's about I. It's about everything that I can be. My destiny, my this, my dreams, my everything. Listen, folks, it's about time that the church turned our eyes back towards the Holy One of Israel. It's about time that the church got a grip on who it is that we are serving today. And remember that it is about Jesus Christ and Him alone. I don't deserve any worship. I don't deserve any self-edification. I don't deserve any accolades. I didn't save anybody. I didn't heal anybody. But there is one called Jesus who died for the sins of man, and He deserves all glory and honor, and God will not accept anything less. God will not accept anything less. Listen to what He said here to this backslidden people. "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me?" In the common language, He would said, "What do you think you're doing? Why do you think I'm interested in your offerings? Why do you think I'm interested in your worship when you won't live right? When you won't act right, when you won't honor me in any other way, but you want to get in front of the church and raise your hands up and buck around and dance like you got everything under control, but your heart is so full of sin and your heart is so full of evil and your intentions are not on God, but they're self-serving." Let me tell you, friends, today, the church is in the condition she's in because of the sin nature of man creeping back in, and no one wants to crucify that old Adam nature. And so our worship is false worship. Our worship is not accepted by God. Listen to me. Listen to me. You can't get into a group of believers and strike up one of those old hymns and everybody throwing their heads up, everybody throwing their eyes, closing their eyes, throwing their head back and singing a victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. After a while, you begin to feel the presence of God enter the room. After a while, you begin to feel that liberty to worship. Why is that? Because there's nothing about victory in Jesus that edifies me. There's nothing about Him winning victory that lifts me up, because it's all about Christ today. We've got to get away from this self-centered culture of worship and get back to what the Bible describes. And righteous living is at the heart of it. It can't come from a heart that is filled with sin. I got more to say here, and I got to hurry. I've spent too long on the first point here. Listen, Verse number 2 describes how they've rebelled against me. Verse number 3 describes how they do not consider. They rebel. Listen, isn't that just like a teenager? They've rebelled or been rebellious, and when you try to tell them something, they don't want to hear what you got to say. Isn't that the church world today? They turn their back on God. They still maintain the form of godliness, and when the preacher preaches on righteous living or the word of God deals with righteous living, they don't want to hear what he's got to say. They turn their nose up to the gospel. They turn their nose up to conviction, and that's the state that we're in this morning. Churches around America are going to get up, and some of them, not all of them, but some of them are going to get up, and they're going to preach holiness, and they're going to preach righteous living, and they're going to preach sanctification, and they're going to preach on how to please God and have clean hands and a pure heart and worship that God will accept. And there's going to be folks that get mad and say, I want to do it my way. There's going to be folks that are going to be so offended by the word of God. Listen, the word of God ought to offend me. The word of God ought to turn the covers off of my sin. The word of God ought to step on my toes. The word of God ought to make me want to live right. The word of God ought to make me want to get my life together, because friends, righteous living is the only way to please God today. He won't accept anything less, and it is my responsibility to live this word of God at all times, in all places, for all seasons. Listen, if I want to please God, I'm going to have to live this word. I'm going to have to be a holy, sanctified man. I'm going to have to know this word of God and live it, devour it, feed my soul on this word, and be Christ to this world. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man. Listen. John 4:24, God's a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In Christ, who is the only truth. He's the way and the truth. Listen, if I want God to hear my prayers, I'm going to have to go by Christ. If I want God to hear me, I'm going to have to go by Christ today. I'm going to have to be in Christ. But friends, you can't get Jesus in you and you in Jesus without living right. It won't happen. There ain't no sin in him. And if he's going to reside in you, there won't be no sin in you either. We're going to have to be a set apart church, or God's not going to hear us when we pray. That's just the bottom line. Some folks have been praying for God to do things for a long time, and God ain't moved on it. And we're blaming God and blaming the church and everybody else instead of turning the magnifying glass on our own heart and examining our own self and saying, God, what is the problem with me? What is the problem in my own heart? Why will you not hear my prayers? Reveal to me the cause of the problem, and you can always chalk it back to sin in the heart of a believer. Listen to me this morning, friends. God wants to hear our prayers. Listen to what he said here. In verse number 18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be red. Though they be red as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye being willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Listen, it's God's desire for you to be blessed. It's God's desire for your worship to be received in his ears. It's God's desire. He said, come and let us reason together. Let's work this out. Come before me with a humble heart, an obedient heart, and let's make things right. And then when you throw your hands up to worship God, he's going to receive that worship, and you'll be blessed for it. Listen, friends, today God is looking for a church that has clean hands and a pure heart. It's too much worldliness now crept in the church. There's too much ungodliness. We've got to go back. Listen, are things working out for the church like God intended them? Is the church the giant she once was years ago? Are we having revival like we used to have years ago? Everyone's talking about how it used to be. Well, my God, why can't it be like that again? Why can't we have what we used to have? Why can't we experience the Holy Ghost like we used to experience him? Why can't we feel God in our worship services like we used to feel God? I would submit to you today that if the church returned back to pure Holy Ghost filled praise and and worship from a heart that has been washed by the blood. Holy hands raised in the sanctuary that are not tarnished by sin. A heart that has been cleaned and a heart that is pure. The intentions are sincere to edify God and to glorify God, to build the church. I believe that God would move one more time. He said in his word, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will heal their land. Listen, God gave us a promise. Then will I hear from heaven. Then will you see the hand of God move. Then will you experience revival. Then God's going to move on the scene. I feel like today that the church is in a place that is so critical, and we're not making any progress. We're in a place today in our country, in our world, where the church is the answer, but the church doesn't have the power to give the world the answer, because we're in a backslidden state of mind. Our heart's in such a backslidden state. It's been so long since we've worshiped God from a pure heart. It's been so long since we've laid before God in a humble state and say, Lord, fix me. Deal with the problem in me, God. Get the problem out of me today. I don't care about what happens in other places. It's me that needs to stand in for prayer today, God. I'm the one, Lord. Somebody look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm the one. I'm the one. It ain't nobody else. It's me. I'm the one. God fix me. God cleanse me. God make my worship acceptable. God make my life acceptable. So whenever I enter into your courts, whenever I walk into the sanctuary and I throw my hands in the air, it's an acceptable, sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of God. And God moves on my behalf. And God turns his ear to my prayer. And he leans in and says, what is that fragrance that I smell coming down from the earth? What is that aroma filling the throne room of God? It's none other than a sanctified, than a blood-bought church that have been fasting and praying, and they're lifting up songs of victory, and they're lifting up cries of worship to a holy God from a heart that has been cleansed from sin. Folks, the last thing that America needs is another dead church. The last thing that we need is another hip-hop, charismatic, dead, fallen-out church, backslidden condition. The last thing we need is another rock star church. The last thing we need is another laser show. The last thing we need are cartoon characters dancing around the foyer. Folks, it's time to get real with God. It's time to get back to serving God in truth and in holiness in the person of Jesus Christ. Listen, this is about as clear and about as plain as I can get. I don't know. Listen, I'm not going to say it. I was going to say it. I'm not going to. There's not a lot of places you can go today and experience the power of God. There's not a lot of places you can go now and go in for prayer and feel the Spirit of God moving. There's still not a lot of places, even here in Jacksonville, in Northeast Florida. There's not a lot of places you can go if you need God to move in your life. Listen, why is that? I want to tell you, if we will deal with the sin problem, if we will deal with the sacrifice problem, we would experience the move of God. We would experience the hand of God. The problem is not God. The problem is me. The problem is me. God said, what is the purpose of your sacrifices in your current condition? How do you think it's going to benefit you or bless God if your heart's not right and you're lifting up worship to God? Listen, I got less than 2 minutes here, but I got to get this in before I close. There's a lot of garbage going on in churches today that God has nothing to do with. There's a lot of things calling itself Christianity, calling itself Pentecostal, calling itself charismatic that God has nothing to do with, friends. But God's not going to, he's not going to share residence. He's not going to share glory. He's not going to put his stamp of approval on something else that glorifies flesh or that's puffed up or anything. anything like that. God's going to accept true, genuine worship from the heart of a sanctified believer, and that's going to move heaven and earth, friends. We've got some praying to do today. We've got, let's find a church. I'm out of time. Let's find a church. I'll continue this next time. I got so much more to say here, but I believe if we'll return to the heart of worship and put Christ at the center, the church will see the hand of God move. God bless you. We love you today. I hope you all get up and find you a church house. Let's go worship God, not for what he can give us, but for he deserves it. He deserves all the worship. Go worship God today. I love you. I'm praying for you. Come on and be back with us again next week. God bless you. 8:30 next week, WBOB. God bless. Love you.
Thank you again for tuning in this morning to hear Brother Tommy Ledford. Please follow on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you can get information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points. Thank you, and God bless you.